Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little word association, okay? So I'm going to say the name of a person, and you're going to say what this person is known for. All right, y'all ready? Colonel Sanders.
Chicken.
LeBron James.
Basketball.
Or the GOAT. Greatest of all time. Maury Povich. Genetic consultant, very good. Steve Jobs.
Apple.
Tony Romo.
Cowboys. Oh, no, he's on the back.
Second string.
Close. It's my cousin, man. Come on, guys. Everyone is known for something. When someone hears your name, when someone hears my name, we are known for something. Now, here's the thing, though. There are very few names that are synonymous with love. Mine perhaps isn't, and probably yours isn't either. Now, that might not keep many of us awake at night, except for this one thing right here. That in God's economy, the single highest value by a factor X is love. The Bible says that it is the primary measuring stick that you and I, that our lives will be judged. Look at what Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest aim. Let it be your loftiest pursuit. I mean, think of your goals right now. Some of you, you're looking to get promoted. Some of you are in college and you think you've got goals set. Some of you just got married and you're thinking about kids. You have all sorts of goals, but I can guarantee you this. Not one of you here has the goal that you want to love better. You want to love like Christ. I even went to my kids and I wanted to see what they would say. And I went to my son, my 15-year-old son, William. I said, hey, William, what is your loftiest goal? Like, what do you think is the greatest lesson in life? You know what he said? He was thinking, he said, you know what, Dad? It's to be true to yourself. I was like, all right, cool. I go to my 9-year-old daughter, Sophia. I asked her the very same question. What is your loftiest goal? What do you think is the most important? You know what she said? She said, to be honorable, to be loving, and to love God. And when she told me that, I wanted to run outside. I didn't even care how cold it was. I just wanted to run outside in my pajamas and just praise God. I went to my 7-year-old, Katie. I said, baby, what? And I try to simplify it for her. I said, what do you think is the most important thing that Dad wants you to do? She looked at me and she thought, she said, to be a kitten or a cat. And I'm like, let me change it around. What is the most important thing for you? And she looked at me and she said, to be a tiger. Love should be our highest goal. It's what we should strive to achieve. Life is about love. Look at the verse this whole series has been based on, 1 Corinthians 13:13. There are three things that will endure. There are three things that will last. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. There's faith, there's hope, and then there's love. And Paul says the contest is over by a wide margin. The greatest of these is love. Here's why. Love endures forever. Love is the only one of the qualities that we are going to take to the other side. Heaven is a place of unadulterated love. That is why it's one of the greatest of the three. It's love. And there's one thing that I want, that I know of every person here, is that you truly want your lives to matter. You want your lives to count. And to get there, to leave a lasting legacy, God shows us it's by love. So allow me to show you three ways on how to let love reign in your life. If you're taking notes, number one, ask what love is. Tina Turner asked it a different way. She said, what's love got to do? What's love got to do with it? Ask that question. What is love? We all have different ideas of what love is. Sometimes we're on, sometimes we're off. Take, for instance, this letter from a young lady to her ex-boyfriend. And she wrote, "My dearest Ben, no words could express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking off our engagement. I'm so sorry. I want to ask you to take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Allison. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery." Is that genuine love? I think not. Here are some misconceptions. Oftentimes, people think that love is only a feeling. That love is just this feeling, that it's this sentimental knot in our stomachs. It's that little quiver in our liver. It's that emotion that we get to swim in. And many of us think that's what love is, but it's so much more. Here's another misconception. People think it's uncontrollable. And we use the term, hey, I fell in love. Kind of like we're just walking along and we just like fell into a ditch. It just happened. We didn't have any control of it. It just happened. Look, you didn't just fall into your clothes this morning. You didn't just fall into church. And you just don't fall in and out of love. We have control over it. In fact, Jesus commands us to love, and the only way he can command us to do something is if we have control over it. And so if love isn't only a feeling and it is controllable, then what is love? Let's see what God says. First, love is a matter of choice. In Scripture, Colossians 3:14, it says, "And over all these virtues, put on what? Love. Which binds it all together." God says, put on love. Put on love like you put on your clothes. He's saying, fellas, put on love like you put on that brute aftershave. Ladies, put on love like you put on makeup. You just put it on. You put it on. That's what he's saying here. Choose to put on love because love is a choice. Here's what else love is. It's a matter of conduct. Love is how we act and what we do. Look at 1 John 3:18. We must show love through actions that are sincere, not just empty words. Love does. And I just want to say, there have been several of you that I have heard about where you are love in action. You do your neighbor's lawn. You look for ways to serve other people, not expecting anything in return. You're just pouring out love. And I must say this, that the Romo family, we are so appreciative of the way that you all have loved us. I mean, in so many different ways. I mean, even the community out here is pouring out love. I received the greatest compliment I've ever received. I'm outside of the gym. I'm on the phone in the car. Some elderly gentleman walks out of his, and then he's just kind of looking like this in front of my car, and then he's looking at me, and he's like, and I'm kind of like on the phone, and I don't know what he's doing, and I'm like, and he's kind of like this, and then he goes like this to me, and he says, and I'm like, oh. And so I said, let me call you back. I opened the door, and I said, can I help you, sir? He said, what are you doing here from Texas? He says, wait, don't tell me. I can already see it. You're a college student, aren't you? I couldn't lie. I almost said, yes, sir, I am. But I just, well, somewhat. Greatest compliment I've ever received. Love is a matter of conduct. Number two, love, we should love like the love we have received. Love like the love we have received. I want you to go back with me during the time of Jesus, okay? And he was with his disciples, and they were kind of in a room such as this right here. And let me tell you, the religious, the Pharisees, they're on to him. They're pressuring him. They're ready to take him out. And Jesus knows this. So this is an all-important time right here. He has very few days with them. So everything he does and everything he says is to the utmost importance. And here are his disciples. And they've already witnessed him do so many miracles. They've seen him just walk on water and raise people from the dead and see all sorts of different lives changed. And they're excited. And they're like, what's going on here? And he gathers them in a room like this. And he looks at them in the eye. He says, fellas, I got something very important to tell you. And in John 13, 34, this is what he says. He says, I'm giving you a new commandment. At this point, they're like, well, we've got about 600-something commandments. I mean, is this a new one? This has got to be important. What is it? He says, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Jesus says, just as you have watched me interact with the unloving, just as you have seen me interact with the untouchable and the unwanted, just as you have seen me love everyone, from little kids trying to climb up on me to the enemies trying to take me out, just as you have seen me love you patiently, sacrificially, unconditionally, that is how you should love each other. That's what makes this a new commandment. Ain't no more favorites. There's no more paybacks. There's no exceptions. Love others the way I have loved you. Question becomes, how does Jesus love? Well, he shows us in many ways. Let's name a few. Christ shows us love is inclusive. Is inclusive. Now, everyone hates to be left out. It could be the most simple thing. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're left out, you can't stand it. Give you an example. The other day we're driving and my wife's kind of looking at her phone and she's laughing and she's giggling and I'm like, well, what are you laughing at? What's going on? She says, oh, we're getting a group text of people from El Paso. They're making all sorts of jokes. And then I look at the phone and I see all these people in this group text except me. I didn't even want to read it. I was like, here. Why? It doesn't feel good to be excluded. And love always includes everyone. Jesus included everyone in his circle of love. This is why he got so, this is why those religious people were so all over him. They couldn't take it that he always hung out with the bar hoppers. And he showed respect to the prostitutes. And he built relationships with the outcast. He saw it all as a chance to love. He included everyone. Because that's what love does. And as his followers, you know, that's what he's called us to do. To love the poor. Love the rich. The beautiful. The not so beautiful. He wants us to love the somebodies and the nobodies and the families and the co-workers and the other races. Yes, he wants us to love the Democrats and even the Republicans. Treat everyone the same. That's what love does. It includes everyone. Here's another way Jesus loves. It's sensitive. Love is sensitive. Let me tell you. There are so many times that we can be so insensitive to one another and not even notice. Has that happened? And you know a good way that you can just kind of see where you're at is like your pet peeves. Like I've got several pet peeves. I have things that really annoy me. I'll share a couple with you. You know what I can't stand? There's someone in front of me in a car and the signal's turning left and it turns green and they're like this and I'm behind them, or they're kind of going like this. And I really want to honk and do all sorts of things, but I just wait there. And then when they decide to turn, it turns red, so I get a double red. Do you know how frustrating that is? I want to do all sorts of things, right? Or you know what else I can't stand? I cannot stand when somebody says, hey, something happened. I got to really share this with you guys. You're not going to believe what happened. And I'm like, well, what happened? Oh, I better not share it with you. No, you're going to share it. No. I better not. No, just forget about it. No, I ain't forgetting about anything. You're not leaving until, I can't stand that. Those are pet peeves. Why do they bother us? Because they inconvenience us. And nobody likes to be inconvenienced. And when we are, we're all very insensitive. And on a side note, especially for those who volunteer, remember that what we do should always, always, always be an extension of God's love. Never allow volunteering to become like this island unto itself, where we're not careful the way we do ministry, and because of it, it starts to become a task or a job. And then when it becomes a task or a job, you know what we start to do? We become very insensitive with others. And then you know what goes on from there? We become very territorial because we're so insensitive. This is my area. Ain't nobody got me in my area. This is my area. Love is sensitive. And we got to be sensitive to one another, especially to our new guest. Third thing we learn that love is, it's approachable. It is approachable. Jesus was incredibly approachable. How so? Well, think back in those times. There's so many ways, but think about the time when leprosy was just all over the place and there wasn't no cure for it, right? And so if you got that, you know what ended up happening? You're just kind of sent off to the side, almost like in a refugee camp. You'd lose everything. You'd lose family, your homes, your jobs. You were sent off. You were just gone. That was it. You left everything, and you would die just an isolated death. And if you were to ever venture out, you know what you'd have to do? You'd have to scream out the top of your lungs, like you'd have to yell, stay away, I'm unclean. Just imagine someone walking down the street here and just yelling, stay away, I have AIDS. Do you know how just horrible that is? And so no one could get close to you. And isn't it ironic that the person who would not only allow lepers to get close to him, but even touch him, hug him, probably even kiss him, was God himself. Jesus was so approachable. What about you all? Are you approachable? Can people go up to you and share with you all sorts of things and not be critical or judgmental or even intimidating or off-putting? And even for me, I got to tell you, it may not seem like it, but I'm a natural introvert. I'm fluent in awkward. But I want people to feel the love of God just flowing out from me. I want us as God's church to be approachable like his son Jesus was. So let me ask you, are you approachable? Husbands, can your wives approach you with all sorts of things and not worry about, he just wants to be right. He just wants to be right. And husbands, can your husbands approach you without having to walk on eggshells like, she's going to burst out again? And parents, can your kids approach you without fear? Can they share with you what's really going on in their lives? Remember, love is approachable. Fourth thing Jesus shows us, love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. Whether it's your time, energy, money, or something else, you cannot love without sacrificing. But here's the thing right here. You know what we do? We're always looking for loopholes. We're always looking for loopholes. It's like this guy who went to a marriage counselor, and he says, you know what? There ain't no passion in my marriage anymore. I feel like we're neighbors. Counselor's response, well, the Bible does say to love your neighbor. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. Like, we fight like cats and dogs. We're like enemies. The counselor said, God does tell us to love our enemies. The husband's getting frustrated, and he's like, you're not getting this. The longer I'm in this marriage, the more it's going to kill me, and I can't take it anymore. And the counselor responded, Scripture does say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and died for her. We're constantly looking for loopholes to get out of loving one another. You know, I've been doing ministry for several years. I have never met a couple. I've never been in front of a couple that is struggling in their marriage, and the complaint is, well, my husband, he just sacrifices so much for us and the kids, and I just can't take it anymore. He's just constantly sharing and loving us. It's just, I've never heard that. See, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. It's the essence of love. Look at Ephesians 5:2. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ. Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice. And so to let love reign, we got to act like love acts. We got to ask what love is. And number three, add what love needs. What does our love need in order to continually grow, to be healthy? Well, write this down. If you want a growing, healthy kind of love, we have to slow down our lives. We have to slow down our lives. Time is the best expression of love. Look at Job 9:25. My days are going by faster than a runner. They fly away without me seeing any joy. You know, when our lives get rushed, we lose our joy. And when we lose our joy, it's very easy to become unloving. And you know what the problem I think is? I think just like our society just moves so fast, like our culture's like always like fast, fast, fast. You gotta move fast, and everybody thinks that everything takes forever. Last night it was snowing, right? And I was like, oh goodness. So I'm driving home and I'm like, oh goodness, I gotta be careful. So I'm driving kind of slow. A truck behind me literally peels out, passes me up, looks at me, and I can just see his face. You're taking forever. I'm like, everyone's like, we want everything so fast. Like, even you probably do this like I do. Like, 2 minutes on the microwave, and I'm like, this taking forever. Like, I don't even want to hear the beep. I'll just open it before the beep. Why? Because it takes forever. Some of you are thinking, this sermon is taking forever. Even the Starbucks, they created an app for the millennials, right? Why? Because they're in line and they don't want to wait in line anymore. So there's an app that says you just order and you don't have to wait in line. What's the issue there? Well, they always say this line takes forever. It's crazy. We're always on a fast track. We got places to go, things to do, goals to achieve, quotas to meet, deals to cut, kids to shuttle. We move so fast. But I have seen that the faster I move, the more I miss out on life. And I don't want to be like those dads that are always busy doing things and I miss having a relationship with my kids. I don't want to be that husband that's just always doing things and miss out on my relationship with my wife. When we move fast, we don't really notice people. And then we end up hurting them, let alone love them. And let me tell you something. Jesus, the busiest man that ever lived, he often stopped and looked and loved on people. And that's one way to feel your love. Here's the second part. Fill up on God's power. You ever feel like you don't have any love left? Look at Galatians 5, 22-23. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce, look at this kind of fruit he produces in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's quite a resume, isn't it? But look what it all starts with. Love. All those other attributes flow from it. That's why we read in 1 John 4:19, we love each other as a result of his loving us first. In order to share God's love, we first got to truly experience and understand the kind of love that God gives us. That he would send, think of this, that God would send his only son, Jesus, to die for us. And don't miss out on this, because sometimes it just kind of just goes right over us, just like that, like nothing. But see, God knew that as hard as we tried, we were going to continually mess up. We were going to continually hurt one another. We were going to hurt our families. We were going to just do things against him. But yet he still, knowing all this, he still sent his son Jesus to die in our place. And to help us kind of grasp this, I'll even start off small, just so we see what we're dealing with here. Parking lot, Walmart. One of the pluses that I moved here is that Walmart back in our hometown, you had to park like 3 miles away just to get parking space. Everyone goes to Walmart. Occasionally, one would pop up right in front of the store. It was a miracle of God right there. So let's say we're driving, right? Miracle of God. Boom. Parking space right in front of Walmart. You're about to turn. A car in a BMW just kind of skids in, scratches your car up. He just parks, walks down, waves at you like of nothing. How likely is it that you would say in your heart, truly in your heart, go ahead. That's your space. It's a gift from me to you. I'll walk further in the snow. I don't mind. It's an act of love. It's a gift. How many would do that? Very few. I know I wouldn't. There have been times when they did do that, and I rolled down my window. I wanted to give the one-finger salute, and then I remember I had a church sticker in the back of my car. It was kind of like... It's a short list of people that would do that. Now, play this all the way out with me, all right? So, giving up your parking space. Now, what about giving everything up for someone who is so undeserving? Would you give up all your money? You clear out all your bank accounts. You give up jobs, your health, your car, your house to a person that doesn't deserve it at all. Would you do that? Or let's take it a step further. How likely would you lay down your life for a totally undeserving person? How likely would you take a bullet for someone knowing full well that they would spit in your eye, go forward like it wasn't no big thing and never acknowledge it one bit? Anyone you know that would do that? I do. It's Jesus. In Romans 5:18, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we still mocked and laughed at the sacrifice of his son, while we spit in his eye, while we walk away, never giving it another thought of his sacrifice, Christ still died for us. Jesus still died for you. And what motivated him to do such a thing? The kind of love that has never been seen in this world. And that's the truth about the God that we worship. That's the nature of who he is. Question is, as Christ's representatives, will we start loving people the way that God loves us? Will we start loving the lost like God loves lost? Christ community, will we make love our highest goal? Will we let love reign? What I'm going to do is I'm going to close this out in prayer, and then we'll catch a video. And I'll come up and we'll dismiss. But let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you that I myself, Lord, I have many times just walk away, not acknowledging the true sacrifice that you did for myself and for every person in this room. And so, Lord, we want to thank you so much for the love that you've given us. And I just pray that you would empower us as a church, that same love that you have blessed us with, that it would just overflow to the people around. Because we know that every person matters to you. And Lord, if there's someone here that has never received this kind of love, maybe today is the first day. Maybe today is that first step where they say, Jesus, I want you in my life. So Lord, we just thank you so much for what you are doing here in our lives and just the love that you're pouring out. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.